it's done.
Connor McDavid! It's not real!
The goal of the year?
Panarin!
Part of the past. The celebrations? Forgotten. The history?
Vegas Golden Knights!
History. We're back to a blank slate. Clean ice. All that matters now is what happens next. The Stanley Cup Playoffs.
Eastern Conference Final begins Wednesday.
Go to the host with the most from Morning Glory, Matty Johns. Hello, Matty.
Sugar Missile, how are you, lads?
You know how you, was it you who gave the nickname to Bears Head, the Enabler?
Yes.
Did you hear the Toby Dow story, True Crime Tuesday?
No.
Hadn't had a drink for 19 years, so approaching 7,000 days, and then all of a sudden he's had about 20 schooners with Bears Head in bloody Bali. The Enabler's at it again. 19 years.
Oh, man, he's just... I remember, like, Hindy sometimes on the show, he'll get there and Hindy's got, Matt, right, I'm on a diet, I'm going to crack down. And yeah. Fletcher's like, mate, don't be stupid. Just go on, have a nugget. Just do it, mate. Yeah, he's the best at it. Incredible.
What about Toby then was saying that Bears Head doesn't really get the next day horrors either? He just kind of cracks on and he bounces back really easily.
Yeah, you know what, Missile? I'm a little bit the same. I mean, Vegas was a whole new level. I was really crook over there. But we got a little bit of mail. There's a prominent person who we visited over there who we were advised that he wanted to have dinner with us. And we went, okay. So we went over to the house, had a cracking night, but we run into him in Vegas. And I don't want to say who it is, but we run into him in Vegas. He came up and goes, which one of you blokes gave me COVID? He said, the next day I had it, and which explained everything. Because while we were over there, we were going, oh, man, all of us were that crook.
Yeah.
And had mega hangovers. But I'm a little bit the same, Missile. I sort of, as I've got older, I crack on. It takes me a lot to have any type of hangover.
That's a great gift to have. I'm one of the great.
Quite proud of
mate,
it.
Mate, there's no Terry Lamb in me. I cannot back up.
Yeah, sook?
Oh, massive sook. Mm. Massive sook when it comes to that.
I love it. You know, when you get up the next day and you got nothing on and you just go, you know, you wake up in the morning and you go, oh, I've had some breakfast. What time is it? Oh, it's 8:30. And you go, why not?
Yeah. Hair of the dog.
Why?
Yes. Oh, yes.
We just had True Crime Tuesday, Matty, with Toby Dowd, and he was talking O.J. Simpson. He is convinced that O.J. was not guilty, believe it or not. Have you done much research on this yourself?
Hang on, before you answer that, to which one person says, yeah, it's very clear that Toby is back on the drink, O.J., totally guilty. Even members admit they let him off.
Well, at the time, they tried to pin... There was an investigative officer there who had quite a past involved around racism and whatnot, and there was a belief that he could have been involved. But after watching several documentaries, I'm in absolutely no doubt that it was OJ. And in fact, I believe OJ brought out a book basically titled, If I Had Done It, This is how I would have executed, or some words to that effect. He brought out the book, and I think the family took him to court on it, and basically all the proceeds of the book went back to the family. I think so. I vaguely remember that, but in my opinion, just no doubt whatsoever.
What happened with that is it was called If I Had Done It, and what the family did, they won the rights to the book, and they put the title, I Did It, and the word if super small on the cover. And still credited to OJ.
Oh,
so
okay.
It basically said, I did it, OJ Simpson, with if really, really small.
Yeah. Ooh. It was so tourist. In the documentary, you actually see there is, like, he goes from being SCU, I think it was, star there, Buffalo Bills, and then all of a sudden had movie fame and all this sort of stuff. And you, in the documentary, you just see the descent into madness just after his career, just at the back end of his career. And things start to... So he got crazier and crazier, and then, all sorts of reports coming out, and then, of course, the murder, which, again, come back to, it was OJ.
The boys on Morning Glory on the Friday morning, it's a great show, a bit of music, bit of movie stories, all that sort of going on, and they're talking about horrific endings or shocking endings or something that completely took you by surprise. Notable omission, Matthew. I remember being a young kid, like a young a teenager coming through. You're starting to get a bit Roman Sandlish. And I'm watching I'm watching this show, and I've just got my eyes on this person. I'm like, oh, wow.
Burke's backyard.
No.
Sounds unlimited, Donnie Sutherland.
The Crying Game. Have you seen that?
No.
Oh, you have.
Matthew. Yeah. I was scarred for years after that.
Oh, yeah. Heavy. There's a great, I mean, look, there's two that really stand out for me. Clearly above all the others is Usual Suspects.
Yes.
And Seven. I tell you, Usual Suspects, right?
I was going to text you that. Did anyone say that?
We mentioned it, Kaiser Soze. Do you know what happened, right? Here's a story talking about the late Terry Hill. There was myself, Jimmy Dimmick, and Terry. We're over for the 95 for the Rugby League World Cup. We're strolling through London, and Tez said, do you want to go see a movie? We're like, yeah. Anyway, we turned up at this cinema. There was one film on. It was the last session. It was 9 o'clock at night, a movie called The Usual Suspects. Never heard of it. We sat down and watched it, and at the end of it, we just said, well, what about that?
Oh, how good.
What a, like, just a hidden gem.
Yep.
Incredible movie.
Have you seen it, Missile?
No.
You haven't seen Usual Suspects? I won't tell you the ending.
All right.
It's a cracker.
It's insane.
Yep.
Actors?
Yeah.
Who's in it?
Kevin Spacey.
Yeah, Kevin Spacey. Yeah, that's right.
Spaceman.
Oh, you're really
Spaceman's
selling it.
In it.
Yeah.
Yeah, I know. There's some other prominent actors that might have been on the A-list, but only briefly. But the movie doesn't suffer for lack of star power.
Tourist,
it's insanely
you got?
Good.
Stephen Baldwin, Benicio del Toro, Charles Palamenteri, Pete Postlethwaite.
Benicio del Toro's, Kevin Spacey. They're the two big names in it. Although del Toro at the time was only a young actor, a lot younger than when he really come to prominence. But yeah, got to see it, Missile. It's a cracking movie. So boys, I tell you what's strange. I've had numerous reports today through to me, but can't get them verified. That David Ferner is about to take over.
Ooh.
Now I've had two reports and been tipped off about it, but can't get confirmation. So I don't know exactly what is going on. I called from a journal as well, Daily Telegraph journal, and said, "Have you heard anything?" And I said, "I have." They were the same. They'd heard the tip-off that Dave Ferner was going to take over his caretaker job after this afternoon. But at the moment, no, can't get it confirmed.
Not sure. That's interesting because there was other reports too that Ben Hornby might take the gig. But I kind of feel like, oh, which way would you go, Matty? Somebody else said they're going over to try and get Adrian Lamb. There's a lot of rumours getting around at the moment. But I think your mail might be closer to the mark.
I get the feeling it'd be Ferner. I truly believe that they've brought him in for tidy up their defence a little bit, but probably to take over as head coach, given the fact that he's had some experience. And you know, they're going to need someone with at least some experience to take over as caretaker coach, given the fact there's so many big personalities in that club and the high profile nature of the club as well. So. Yeah, I would expect that Dave would get ahead of Benny Hornby.
They also, too, like you see this scenario, whether it's AFL, NRL, whatever the case may be, the draw plays a part in this. So they look at this and they go, they're playing Melbourne in Melbourne. We haven't won in 18 years.
Yeah.
He can have that. You know, and then all of a sudden, they time it. They do look at the draw for this stuff.
I've got a belief that if you're going to fail, you've got to fail fast.
Yep.
So that, like, in a situation we're in at the moment, look, they've known for a while. They've had their heads together. I mean, the situation with Mal, they were sizing up Mal to take over. They decided to give him a stay of execution, but coming off the bye, they knew what was coming up. It was Melbourne Storm, followed by the Panthers. Everyone knows, Jason Demetriou even would just be waiting for the hammer to fall. I don't know why they've dragged it on this long. Mm. I don't know. Once I come back, if you fail fast, it gives you an opportunity to begin that healing process or, you know, start the recovery process. But they've dragged this on for so many weeks that, boys, the confidence within the club, the confidence within the player group has deteriorated even further. That, you know, I can't see them. I mean, I think there'll be, I think Luttrell will come back, and I think we'll start to see Luttrell play some great football. But boy, oh boy, I don't know. I can't see them getting a sniff of the finals.
I'm assuming this was Demetrio that's named this team this afternoon. So it's still Hawkins at halfback, Cody Walker at 5'8". Is the first thing that Ferner does move Whiten into the halves?
Look, missile. When Jack Whiten, when he signed there and they started to... Well, when was it? When was the prom? Well, look, after almost after round one, it was my belief that when he was going to come back into the side, Jack, if he was going to have the impact that they hope he could in you know, turning this side into a finals team, he couldn't do it from a left-hand corridor.
Absolutely.
In the centres. You can't, from a left-hand 10-metre corridor, you cannot have the type of impact that they need from Jack. And I said at the time, from his return, it's got to be Cody Walker 7, Jack Whiten 6.
And what about, just back to this draw, so they've got the Panthers this week, which it's a free swing for whoever comes in, if it is to happen, if the mail is to be right. Then you've got the Dragons, then you've got, in Sydney, of course, then you've got the Cowboys in Sydney, oh, Suncorp Stadium, sorry, that's Magic Round. You've got Parramatta, which probably still without Gutherson and Moses. You got the bye, and then you've got the Titans. So it's an opportune time for them to pull the trigger.
Right.
Yeah, it is, isn't it? Like, it's an opportunity after the Penrith game to say, right up, we're going to do a change, whether it be Ferner, Hornby, Adrian Lamb, whatever they decide to do, that coach comes in, suddenly they have a couple of wins or at least a couple of very strong performances, and they say, well, we've been vindicated. So you could almost smell this process.
Yep. Hey, Matty, the talk's been around this kickoff, and we don't want to spend too much of the time on the show on this, but have you got any views around it? Do you want to change it? Do you want to leave it as it is relating to the concussion?
I don't want to change it.
No.
Obviously, I've been a rugby league man my entire life, so I don't want to change it. I think it's an integral part of the game, and I think it'll take a bit away from the game, having that just, you know, whether it be a tap start or you're only allowed to do short kickoffs. But, you know, by the same token, I can understand why the argument is out there because of the concussions, because the high rate of concussions or collisions. I've seen some shockers over the years. The one that I was involved with that still sticks with me, given the nature of the thud when it happened, was Chief and Spud off the kickoff. That was insane. I remember we were behind the line. Manly had just scored. I think Cliffy had scored an intercept try and gone half the length of the field. And Chief had hurt his groin, right? So the trainer comes on and says, Chief, you mate, it's time, you've got to come off. You can't, you know, you're limping around. And he said, just give me one more tackle. And he said to Joey, kick off at Spud. And I remember thinking, this is a bad idea.
Yes.
And it was.
Oh, no. I'll tell you.
Yeah, but I look, all things being fair and equal, I don't want to change it, Joel.
No, I'm much the same, but the very simple solution I had, which is a rule we already have. So at the moment, any general play kick that lands in the in goal in the full, it's a 20-metre restart, 7-tackle set, which the coaches hate giving those away.
Yes.
And I just felt that, you know, the best kickoffs are when you land them in goal. You can trap them on or in the 10. And I just felt if we introduce that simple rule that we already have, that if you were to catch a kickoff in the goal, that would probably push the average start of a set from maybe 10 out up towards 20, 15 or 20. Yep. So therefore, the incentive on the gamble versus short kickoff versus going long is more incentivized to try and make that move. And we're not...
I like that.
Yeah, we're not really tampering with them. We've already got a rule that does that. So that's sort of the only solution I came up with.
I like it. Joel, I think if they want to make some sort of amendment, I'm in favour of that. I think it's good. And it lends itself to a bit of there's consequence for the kickoff.
Yeah.
I like that. It's an extra layer of drama.
Yep, we've got the rule already for general play, so it's not a big change to the game. But anyway, what else has happened to Matty? What's on for the rest of the week?
Oh, that's a good question. The week just slips away, doesn't it? I was up at I was up at the Gold Coast on Friday. I had to go up there for a wedding, Burley Heads, and there was a. I was leaving Morning Glory. I had to miss out on the church ceremony, which was, thank God for that. Yeah. Arrived for the good stuff. The reception. We had our reception. It was upstairs, and there was another wedding reception downstairs. And when we arrived, there was this enormous kerfuffle with paparazzi, and I was thinking, geez, I tell you what, my profile has grown up here in Queensland. But it was Margot Robbie, was bridesmaid.
Wow.
Downstairs.
Did you get a look?
Yes. Well, I tell you, it was very, very strange because I was having a look. I was having a look like along Burley Beach there as it sort of heads up towards Southport, that beautiful coast, and I'm looking off into the distance. Then I look down and Margot was down there, and her PA was next to her and looked up and saw me looking down and gave me the, no, look away.
Oh.
And I was like, oh, yeah, I swear to you. And I was like, mate, hang on, a person doesn't own a view.
Yeah,
of course.
Yeah.
Well, I heard a couple of these. I had a couple of these recently. We were having a chat. I had to shoot a commercial the other day, and the people who, they brought an American crew out to shoot it, and they were saying that they recently did an ad with a big recording artist who was a complete and utter arsehole. Anyway, I shared that story with one of the girls in a wardrobe at work, and they said, and she said that she was once on tour. I think it was Christina Aguilera.
Oh, yeah.
Might have been. They were on the tour. And everyone behind the scenes, makeup, wardrobe, assistants, catering, everybody, was when she walked down the corridor or backstage, everyone had to look away.
Oh,
well, and I was like, so well, weird. That's when you know someone's lost the plot.
Yep. And Eminem got... He was bloody upper too, wasn't he? Like he was
Eminem.
He was bagging her on the big stage as well.
Oh, was he?
Oh, massively. Yeah. There's some good clips if you see Eminem versus Christina Aguilera. But Maddie, hopefully Margot Robbie's brother wasn't there. Did you hear the Maddie Johns? The Fletch analogy.
No.
So Fletch was saying that if you were Margot Robbie's brother, do you have a position to be interested in Margot? Which he thinks, yes, you can be.
No,
what?
You can't. What?
That's what Fletch said.
So he thinks that her brother would think she's hot.
If it was Margot, if you were Margot Robbie's brother, that's what he said.
No, you couldn't admit it.
It wouldn't happen.
No.
It wouldn't happen. No,
that says a lot about Fletch.
It's
very incestuous. Man, I'm from Cessnock, you know? I mean, come on.
Well, what you did see, did she live up to the hype?
Do you know what? I was standing there, I looked down at her, and I looked to the left at Trish, and you know what? I'm going to stick with the status quo.
Yeah, beautiful.
Because I could tell that Margot wanted me, you know? She was, yeah. I could just, she loves the 5/8.
Yes.
It's between
yes.
you or Ticketman.
Yes, she does.
Ticketman. Ticketman's just on my right here. Missile,
sorry, Matty. And you got Ticketman there, but Kyle and Jackie O, the interview, which I need to see.
Oh, yeah, Jackie O.
But apparently, the Melbournians being a little bit stiff around the reception of Kyle and Jackie O at the moment?
I think there has been a little bit of blowback. I know Steve Price went berserk on the project last night, said that it was smutty, sexualized garbage or worse to that extent. But one thing about Kyle, mate, he will just double down. And from my understanding, he's gone down into Melbourne the first couple of days and just gone hard.
Yeah,
and
good.
Look, I think it'll be tough yards early on. I think there will be a natural Melbournean thing to say, mate, let's bar it. We don't want this in the garbage.
Yeah.
But the show's just too good.
Too good.
The show is too good. I think within 12 months, it'll be close to number one.
Yeah, I 100% agree with that.
I'd like to see Steve Price in a wrestle outside Toddy's.
You can't help leave himself. That one alone.
He can't help himself. Matthew, we'll catch you later.
Oh, very, very.
See you, mate. See you, Matty.
Good on you, lads. See you, boys.
You can't help yourself, can you? The run home with Joel and the Missile. Have your say. 1300 01 1170 or text 0457 736 736. Thank God Michelle is in the chair tomorrow and have a day off your weak gags. Heaps of texts coming through too, by the way. And Tommy Papley's going to join us up there. Kazala, you better take that hat off, tourist.
He's not going to see me. We're just on the phone. He's not going to see that.
Okay. Oh, he's on the phone.
He's on the blower. Back to back. two people so convinced of a different outcome of the OJ case.
I know.
That's why you have to watch the show.
I know. I'll have my say tomorrow. I'm going to try and watch it tonight. That's,
well, that's
my
a
plan.
Lot of binging.
Oh, is it?
What time do you go to bed?
Oh, if I can get to bed by 8:30.
Oh, yeah.
That's a win.
8:30?
Yeah.
Yeah, no, you're not going to get... Yeah, it's probably 3-4 hours worth of viewing.
Yeah, 4-7-8 was subjected to the same thing I was as a youngster too. That was a rough watch. That is for sure. 1300-01-1170 or text 0457-736-736. And don't forget, Jaleesa Apps for Channel 7 is standing by. If we hear any news, Jaleesa's going to be on the Dog and Bone, and we'll catch up to find out what's happening there at South Sydney. So to think, if they were catching up at 5 o'clock, it's now 24 and a half minutes have lapsed. There's a lot of words said in that time. Standing by. Maybe we'll have some news on the other side of this break, but potentially developing news you'll hear by the end of the show here on The Run Home with Joel and The Missile, which will take you through to 6 o'clock before handing to the boys on Sports Day.